Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you, Father, for this time, for this fine weather, Lord, that we could come together and sit under your feet once again, Lord. Grant us a little understanding, Father, of your precious word for today, something that we can learn, Lord, as we go on this life journey, Lord, towards our goal, that we may see Christ face to face on the day when he comes, Lord. Father, we thank you for now and ask for your presence to bless thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we want to go in. Today we want to deal a little bit with the prophet Ezekiel. And we're not going to too much detail as our study is actually from eternity and time. We are dealing with time from the beginning to the end, to eternity future. And so we are not going into the details of all the life of the prophets, but a little recap on some of these prophets because they play an important part in history in the time when of a major event that happened to the nation of Israel. Now, first of all, when we look at the book of Ezekiel, it is a Ezekiel, the name of what the name Ezekiel means, the Lord strengthens, or God strengthens. And Ezekiel, of course, was a prophet of the captivity. He was one of those that were taken to Babylon. He was taken to Babylon 11 years before Jerusalem fell. Because you will remember the captivity of the children of Israel in the northern nation, they were taken in parts. And so the same with those in the south. They were taken little by little until the whole city fell. Now the Assyrian captivity actually was 134 or 35 years before the fall of the city of Jerusalem. Now when the northern kingdom went into idolatry, when they showed rebellious natures toward God, God began to deal with them. So we have the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian king came down and took part of the northern nation, in the northern part, Galilee, the north and eastern side of Israel, and took part of the people into Assyria and make them captive. 13 years later, they came down again and they took another lot, Samaria and the rest of Israel. And of course, there were some Israelites, the northern kingdom, they were actually scattered out, hiding places in the caves or in the mountains or in the forest where they could seek refuge. And some of them went down, of course, to the south, to the southern kingdom of Judah. So 20 years later, again, the Syrian came. And this time, they took 200,000 of the inhabitants of those that were hiding among the southern kingdom, as well as whether they could find them in the caves or in other places, and took them up. Now, of course, when they took these 200,000 inhabitants of Judah, of course, some of the Judah, the people of Judah, the tribe of Judah, actually were taken up by them also. All right? So 95 years later, when you have Babylon, the king of Babylon came down to fight against the southern nation. They took a section of the inhabitants as well to Babylon this time because they were a Babylonian king. Now, among those that were taken captive was a man by the name of Daniel. He was the prophet. He was taken. And then about, some years later, more were taken. 9 years later, more were taken. At this time, Ezekiel went along. When the king of Babylon came and took the king Jehoiakim, Ezekiel was part of this captive and was brought along also to Babylon. And then in the year 524, Babylon burned. So Babylon became a what we call fallen. Let me just show you this chart here. Now here we have the divided kingdom. And since the time that the northern kingdom rebelled to the time that Jerusalem fell is about 390 years, as you can see, before Jerusalem fell from the time of the dividing of the kingdom. Ezekiel was called into the prophetic ministry at the age of 30. Now let's go to the book of Ezekiel here. Read from chapter 1. We are not going through every chapter, just want to get the important places where we want to learn something. Then it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captive by the river of Kiba, that the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. Now here, in one of the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is very particular about the time and the year and the month and the day that the vision, you know, came to him. So he always mentioned about the year, the month and the day when the vision would appear. So if you read through all his 24th chapter, you will find that he described precisely all those times. Alright. So he says that he was in the 30th year. And that when he received this vision by the river Kiba. Now this place Kiba is somewhere north of Babylon. If you know where Babylon is, let me show you again. I need to show you the map and that you can have an idea where we are anyway. Okay? Alright. Now this is the Fertile Crescent, of course, believed to be the region of Babylon anyway. Now you can see this river Euphrates. Alright? And Babylon is right here. Now just north of Babylon is where Kiba is. And Kiba is actually, there is a river that branch off from the river Euphrates in the north, somewhere around here. And it breaks up and flows down to connect to the Tigris River. So that is where Ezekiel was deported to, and he lived in that countryside. Why Ezekiel was there in the countryside, the prophet Daniel was in the city in Babylon. Prophet Daniel was privileged to live in the palace, if you know the story. But Ezekiel was not so. Ezekiel was out there in what you call the village section or village area among those people of his own, the captive. They were all taken up to Babylon, to the empire, they were made captive, and they were all, of course, put in different places there. Alright, so it was in this time, in that 30th year, when he was called into the ministry. Now, we want to look at a little bit of Ezekiel as a prophet. Now, he was not much different from Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was also a prophet, was called during the time of all this turmoil and chaos and crisis and rebellious nature that, you know, Israel went through. Is going through. And so, he was calling us at such a time, and the way that God called him and make him a prophet is something which I think most of us would not want to be in his shoe, so to speak. You know that Jeremiah was called and he cursed the day. In fact, he cursed the day that he was born. And he doesn't want to be a prophet. He had no choice, but he was called. And so he had to do what God requested him to do. So the same thing with Ezekiel. When we will pick up some of the things that actually Ezekiel went through as a prophet. Alright? In the 5th day of the month, which was in the 5th year of King Joachim's captivity, that he was taken up there. Now this book of Ezekiel was written when he was in captivity. But Jerusalem has not yet fallen. Okay? There was still 11 years before Jerusalem fell. And Ezekiel prophesied for about 22 years. Okay? So, he was taken captive and brought up to Babylon, in the Babylonian Empire, and there God called him to prophesy. And so he prophesied about the fall of Jerusalem. Now you have 42 chapter of Ezekiel. The first 24 chapter dealt with the certainty of the fall of Jerusalem. Ezekiel prophesied, make sure that the people of Israel who were in captivity, or the people of Judah who were in captivity, to know that Jerusalem was certainly fall. Alright. He doesn't mean his word, because God makes sure that he let the people know that Jerusalem will fall, because God wanted to cause it to fall. Alright, so the first 24 chapter dealt with the fall of Jerusalem. And chapter 25 to 32, this few chapter, 7 chapter deals with the nations, the overthrow of all the nations round about Israel. Prophecy against all these other nations. And the rest of the chapter from 33 to 48 is regarding the future, the reestablishment and glorious future of Israel. Okay, where we see the vision of the third temple and so on. Into the future when Christ returns and set up his kingdom upon the earth. When we look at this, remember that Ezekiel, when he was called at the age of 30, like all most prophets and priests, because 30, the 30 is the age when a person is called into the service for the Lord. 20 is the age when you can, a sword. But 30 is the age when you can go into the service for the Lord. So it was always that year, the age when God called a prophet. Alright. The word of the Lord, verse 3, came to me expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldean, by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Now, we're going to read through this, and then we'll see whether how much stuff we can try to imagine of these visions of Ezekiel. Now, the book of Ezekiel is one of the most difficult books to really understand, because all the things that Ezekiel seen, and in visions, was in fact believed by many non-Christians who was trying to figure out about this strange phenomena that happens around, in the past, in people's life, and Nostradamus, or prophets of the Bible, or prophet of some other religious book. And they try to understand what this vision actually means. So, some believe that the visions of Ezekiel was a vision of aliens. Okay? And some they describe, when the Bible describes about the wheel between the wheel and so on, they think, well, that is a spaceship. And these strange creatures are aliens. They came and visit the earth and so forth, So, a lot of those that who do not believe the Bible, and those who think that those who believe in UFO stuff anyway. Alright? And there are still a lot of people in the world who believe in UFO. Huh? They think that they even tell stories that they have been abducted by aliens and taken to spaceships and whatever. Alright. So here we try to understand what Ezekiel is saying. Now, if we look into verse 6, it says, everyone has four faces and everyone has four wings. That means two pairs. But later when we read, it seems that they have six wings actually. Alright, because part of it was described in a certain way, another part another way. In verse 8, and they had the hands of a man under their wings, and their foresight, and their forehead, their faces, and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward as for the likeness of their faces, therefore had the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side, and therefore had the face of an ox on the left side, therefore also had the face of an eagle. Now every time when we read something like this, try to imagine. Here you have a creature that has four faces. Face of a man. And he says in verse 10, and see if you can figure that out. Alright, verse 10. The face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. Now what right side was Ezekiel referring to? If you are looking at me and I am the creature, face of a man, have an eagle on the right side. Right side here or the right side here? And that's where you have to figure that out. Isn't it? So, sometimes when we look at the Bible, we say, which side is the right side? Alright? And thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings by every one were joined one to another, and two covers their body. And they went, everyone straight forward, whither the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creature, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and the appearance of lamb. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. Oh, the fire went forth lightning. And the living creature ran and returned as it appeared on the flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creature, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creature with his four faces, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their foresight, and when they turned, they turned not when they went. And as for their rings, they were so high, and they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creature went, the wheel went by them, and when the living creature were lifted up from the earth, the wheel were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was the spirit to go, and the wheel were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when they stood still, these stood. And when they were lifted up from the earth, the wheel were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheel. And the likeness of the firmament upon the head of the living creature was as a color of terrible crystal, stretched forth over their head above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two which cover on this side, and everyone had two which cover on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, and the noise of a great waters as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, when they stood and they let down their wings. And above the firmament there was over their head was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loin even upward, from the appearance of his loin even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. Has the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the days of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And then chapter 2, of course, Son of Man, stand upon your feet, and I'll speak to you. Now, let's try to imagine here as to the various... Okay, let's just look at what you can figure out. These are some of the images that you see on the internet, that you can find on the internet. Right? Okay, here, because I don't think you really can see quite far from there. You can see the wheel within the wheel here. And here are the living creatures on both sides, four sides, one over the other side. Alright, there are the four wheels. Wheel within the wheel on four sides. And above here, the firmament, and that's where the one sits on the throne. Now, this is just the artistic view. Everybody is trying to figure out the visions of Ezekiel. And you can probably go and try to figure out what you think is that. Alright? So, what we're going to look at others. Now, here's also a description of what others would think about the will between the will. Here is what the man would think, that the perspective of where Ezekiel stands down here, and the man's face is here, and the eagle, the lion is on the left side to the perspective of Ezekiel. And the ox is over here, and then the eagle is behind. Alright, so this is another drawing, and here is another one. Now everyone have a different view of how the vision appear to Ezekiel. And of course, this one here, if you notice here, the face of a man is here, and that's a lion, and that's an ox, and that's an eagle behind. When we read the Bible over in verse 10, the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right, the face of the lion on the right should be on the right of the lion, of the man. Okay? Then the one on the left is the ox on the left. The eagle is behind the lion. But this one will have different opinion. Alright? Right? Man, lion, ox on the left, and eagle is behind. But anyway, this is only a vision. Don't expect when you go to heaven to see this creature, because they don't exist. They're only symbol, because here we have God is using symbols. As you remember this, the children of Israel, they were all out in captivity, whether they're in Assyria or whether in Babylonia. Now don't forget the Babylonian later on conquered Assyria. And so the culture of the people, the traditions of the people, what they believe, their certain image, their certain symbol. So God used those symbols that the people were aware of and show them. Okay, and they interpret the visions. So you're not going to heaven to see this creature, because what you see in the book of Ezekiel is very similar to what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. Right? And here is Ezekiel's vision in Kiba, by the river Kiba. And here is a creature that has four heads, whereas in John's vision, he sees four separate beasts. He called them beasts, right? Four separate living creatures, so to speak. But yet, here this creature could be called a cherubim, because they're wings. And so, there were four of them standing, and they all outstretched wings touching each other, standing like in the shape of a square. And beside them, there is a will within a will. So that is what you see here, in a will within a will. It's like a, what they call a gyroscope. Alright? Let's take this one here. Yeah, like a gyroscope. A will within a will. And it moves. Alright? And they have eyes around it. Just like when you read in the book of Revelation, you have the lamb with the seven eyes and seven horns. Right. So, you know what the eyes represent. The all-seeing eyes of God, they always go around, travel around the world to see. Eh? So, this is a different, slightly different vision from that of John. But there's always some similarity somewhere in the description. The rainbow around the top of the throne, the ember. Alright. So, let's go back to this one here. Now, here you have this, you know, picture of a man face, and on his right, what we have? It's a lion. On the left of his face, on the left of his face, an ox. Now of course behind him is the eagle. And the wing covers his body, and his two wings stretch out touching. Is it? Well, so this is just a depiction. Alright, so let me go back to this one here now. Okay. This one here, well, you know, whoever draw this, he did the best what he can. Huh? And of course, to those who say, look, it's like a spaceship. In fact, the way that the Bible looks sounds like, you know, wheel be doing the wheel moving. You know how spaceship, imagination of spaceship, right? Flying saucer, the rims seem to be moving. Huh? You know, but this one, of course, is a wheel moving with the wind, a wheel moving. Now, here is that you have this four living creature and you have four, the wheel within the wheel beside them. When they move in one direction. If they move forward, the rest of them move forward in the same direction. They don't move up. They move in the same direction. Alright? And the wheel move along with them. When they lift it up, the same, the wheel will move. Because the light is from the wheel. Alright, one other thing here is that in verse 16, the appearance of the wheel and their work was like the color of beryl, and the forehead one likeness. And the appearance and the work was as what the wheel in the middle of it. Now, beryl is the color of the sea. It actually comes from the word Turkish. And if you look at the sea in the ocean, you can see sometimes it's greenish because of the coral, you know. And it's ever changing, with the tinge blue, and sometimes change, you know, a bit dirty kind of color, you know, it's ever changing. So, when we look at what God is showing to Ezekiel, he's showing about the future of God's glory, about the church, about the gospel, about the life. You know, the four beasts represent the gospel, the word, the gospel of God going forth into the world. Alright, moving in every direction to bring about life, or to bring what you give salvation to those that are here. And above, of course, you can see on this chart, on this drawing here on top, to the very top, you can see, of course, is the throne of God up there, on the very throne of God here. And as the Bible says, it's an amber, and there is a board around it, like the brimbow in the day of rain. So these are some of the description here, and as we say that, there's very intriguing. People read it and they enjoy it. They're trying to understand what Ezekiel saw. All right, let's go to chapter 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Every time God speaks to a prophet, when he wants them to do a certain thing specific, I make them to stand, to understand. Stand to understand the word of truth. And God spoke to Ezekiel, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the nation of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. Remember, Ezekiel was in the Babylonian captivity. Those were the southern tribe of Judah, right? But here the Bible, God addressed to the whole nation of Israel. But here he was mainly with those of the tribe of Judah. But of course, among them there were also people from the tribes of Israel. But again here, remember the word Israel sometimes could be used for even inclusive of Judah. Alright? Judah, Jew, Israel. So it's interchangeable many times. And verse 4, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt send to them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are rebellious house, yet shall know that there have been a prophet among them. So God said, I raise you up, I send you to them, I want you to know, that I want them to know that there is a prophet among them, whether they want to hear or not. But don't forget, why God sent Ezekiel, there were a lot of false prophets, a lot of false prophetess, even among those that were in captive as well, those still left behind in Jerusalem before Jerusalem fell, 11 years later. Alright? At a time such as this, when there is so much of a rebellious nature among the people of Israel, where there's so much problem now existing, political issue, yet false prophet will arise. And today, we see that the world is in this situation now, and we can see religiously there's a lot of false prophet, a lot of people make themselves preacher, you know. You can read in the paper yesterday, huh? You know, some of them wanted to start, they would, you know, want to become the opinion say, oh, they wanted to start their own church and maybe create a mega church later on. You see. The whole thing is a business deal. And there are a lot of false prophets in the days like this also, and there are Ezekiel and there are Jeremiah. They are all for filthy lucre's sake. Right. Now let's go on. Son of man, verse 6, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou do dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be at rebellious house. Don't be afraid of this serpentine poisoners and this scorpion, you know, their words stings you, but you know they will not kill you. And thou shalt speak my word unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And it spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentation and mourning and woes. You see here, it's just the same as we can see in the book of Revelation. Ezekiel is comparable to John, St. John. Both were told to eat the book. And here he eats in verse chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that which thou findest. Eat this group, eat this roll. And go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Well, just like John, isn't it? You eat and find sweet wine. Because when the word of God comes to you, it is life. It is thirsty. It quenches the spirit. The thirsting soul. Okay? And it makes you full. And you enjoy the revelation and the presence of God. But when it gets into your belly, the word of God is no longer sweet because it turns bitter, because it causes you to be what? Be faithful to what you have. You become one with God, and the word of God inside burns within you. That you want to get the word out to whom God sent you. That's what Ezekiel is doing. You know, that Jeremiah, reluctant prophets, you know, but they have no choice. And even here, as Ezekiel said, he caused my mouth to be open and I have to eat the word. Oh, it was nice because God showed me this, God showed me that, and I enjoy the presence of the Lord. But when the word gets in, I'm one with God, and God's anger is against the children of Israel. So God said, get the word out to them, whether they were here or not. But you are responsible to get it out to them. And it's not an easy thing, you know. It's always, just like Jonah. When he was sent to Nineveh, it's not a country full of wickedness. And he doesn't want to go there. Having to deal with these people is not easy. You know, so he went the other direction. Alright? So you must understand the word. And so, in this last day, we are told to eat the word of God as well. So that we can become one with God. One with the Spirit of God, of life. And the idea, when it gets into us, of course, we have to, live the life that is right for God, do what God wants us to do, and so on. So, that's this bitterness back, But bitterness is good. Bitter herbs is what I always say, bitter herb. We need to chakor, and the Bible is always in the East Oriental concept, huh? So we all know what is bitterness, huh? Okay? And it is good for our soul, huh? But not bitterness towards others, I'm not talking about the word bitterness being bitter towards others. But the word is bitter to our inside us, and it's very hard to digest, to move along with God the way God wants us to, because it is a hard life to live. Okay? But the Bible said the yoke is easy, if we will follow. Verse 5, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and hard language, but to the house of Israel. So yes, God said, I send you to the people that who learn the same language, speak the same language as you, so there's no problem. Verse 17, Now here the responsibility of Ezekiel. Son of man, I make thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now just like Jeremiah, God keep on reminding Ezekiel when he called him. When he called him, he showed him vision and he told him, this is what you must do. Alright? Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require in thy hand. I think this verse should be for every one of us. You know, when God gives us an opportunity to talk to somebody, and we don't, then his blood is in our hand. You know. And so God warned Ezekiel, I send you to a wicked people to warn him. And if you don't do it and he die in his sin, I'll require it from your hand. So this is kind of a hard thing to do. Alright? Because after all, Israel is such a rebellious nation now. Verse 22 onwards, here, you know, God treated Ezekiel not very well, it seems. That's a lot of strange thing God, you know, deal with Ezekiel in such a way that Ezekiel found himself in a situation that I don't think if you were Ezekiel, you would like it. Here God caused him to be dumb. Alright, let's look at verse 26 then. And I will make thy tongue to cleave to the roof of your mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. When I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that hear, let him hear, and he that forbear, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Let us go to chapter 24, verse 27, and look at this. Chapter 24, verse 27. In that day shall thy mouth be open to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak, and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So God put it to be dumb until when he make necessary then for him to speak, then God released his mouth and make him to talk. Chapter 33, verse 22. Now Ezekiel was dumb for I don't know how long. Okay? Until 32, chapter 33, verse 22, you read here. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, before he that was escaped came, and had opened my mouth. Until he came to me in the morning, my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb. You know, you just imagine God just, cannot talk. You know, you just cannot talk. Just don't want him to talk. Because the rebellious people, God caused him to do that. And there are the strange things that God asked him to do. Let us continue. Let's go back to chapter 4. Now here, God told him to sleep in a very strange position. Chapter 4, verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house upon it. According to the number of the day that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. Now, Ezekiel, I want you, when you sleep, sleep only on your left side. Not on the left, on your back, not on your right. On your left side. For how many days? 390 days. So every night you have to sleep on the left side. Every day, one day for a year, 390 days. That's when you see the chart, right? When the rebellion started by Jeroboam, it ended everything 390 days, 390 years later. And then he said, after you have done that, in verse 6, then you lie down on your right side now. Okay. Now you lie down on your right side. And you lie down on the right side for how many years, how many days? 40 days. This one is 40 days only. For Judah. He said this is for the iniquity of the house of Judah. So this 40 years was a time when Josiah, and when God called Jeremiah, okay, to prophesy to Josiah. And from that time until the last king was taken to Babylon, Zedekiah, when his eye was plucked off and carried to Babylon. So it was 40 years. Now left side, you know, 390 days, that's more than a year. Now, then of course, left side, you know what left represents, that's judgment, because more harsh punishment. Whereas on the right side, you know, and also in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel 16, verse 46. Ezekiel 16, verse 46. And thy elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughter that dwell at thy left hand. Okay, that is the northern kingdom. Remember, Samaria capital is the capital of the northern kingdom. And thy younger sister that dwell at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughter, those that are down in the south. So left hand seems to be pointing to Israel. Right hand point to Judah. Okay? Alright, let's go back. Now, in verse 10 of chapter 4, this is how God treated his prophet. Not too good. Alright? Verse 10. And thy meat thou shalt eat shall be by weight. 20 shekel a day. From time to time thou shalt eat it. Thou shalt drink water also by measure. The sixth part of a hin, from time to time shall thou drink. Wow. God limited, God controlled Ezekiel. Okay, lie on the left side, lie on the right side for so many days. Okay, what else? Alright. For your food, the food must be measured out. You can eat as much as you want. No, you can only eat this amount. How much is 20 shekel a day? It's about half a pound. 2/4 pounder of hamburger. You know, 1/4 pounder, you can buy 1/4 pounder, you only get 2 for a day. And as to water, about half a liter. Wow, you know this big bottle, only 1/2 liter for a day. God is making Israel suffer. Why? That shows God mean business. You know, God don't have to let Ezekiel act this out, just prophesy to the people, right? But he wants Ezekiel to act it out and the people are watching. You know, that when you do this, God is sure that God is suddenly judging Israel, judging Jerusalem. When Ezekiel carried that out, he is one with God and showing to the people that is what God is going to do to Judah. You see. So Ezekiel suffered. Yeah, you know, prophets suffer for their own people, you know. Do you ever realize how the prophet of old suffered for their own? Look at Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaiah, Moses. They suffered for the people. They stood in the gap between God and Israel. Same thing with the prophet of prophets, Jesus Christ. He came, he suffered for his people. That's what a prophet are. So anybody want to be a prophet? You won't want to think about it, you know. And look at Brother Branham as a messenger of God. In simplicity, he lived a life so simple. He doesn't want to be like this mega church, just, you know, build mega church. They have, you know, the amount of money that comes in, you know, and now they're buying, they're building, buying property and building all this big, you know, super structure for their church. My goodness. You see. So, a true prophet of God will always be true to the word of God and do what God wants him to do. So that's what, you know, how God dealt with it, with Ezekiel, and so he has to do it. Now in chapter 5, so God here told him now, he said to Ezekiel, now take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thy head and upon thy beard, and take thee balances to weigh and divide the hair. So now shave off your hair. Okay. And thou shalt burn fire a third part in the midst of the city. That will show the burning of the city of Jerusalem. Alright? When the days of the siege are fulfilled, thou shalt take a third part and smite about it with a knife. For those that escape, many of them will be, you know, killed by the sword. And a third part thou shalt scatter in the wing, and I'll draw out a sword after them. And then those that were able to run, as God says, you'll scatter them out. So God has to ask Ezekiel to cut off his head into three parts, burn one part, and then one by the knife, and the other one scattered to the wind. Wow, God had to, you know, show Israel that he mean business by, you know, through the prophet, demonstrating what he was going to do. Alright, and then in chapter 6, here is God's prophecy against the mountain of Israel, the people of Israel, the prince in the city. And in verse 7, here we find this one particular common statement that is made more than 60 times. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know that I am the Lord. They shall know that I am the Lord. And you can find also in verse 10. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Now this statement are found more than 60 times throughout the book of Ezekiel. 62 or 63 times. They shall know that I am the Lord. They shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know that I am the Lord. You know. So depending when Ezekiel speaks to the people, he said, you shall know that I am the Lord. When God told Ezekiel, then they shall know that I am the Lord. Or God told Ezekiel, you shall know that I am the Lord. So very, very strong, powerful statement in that you can see throughout the book of Ezekiel. Now, so that God is totally dealing with the children of Israel so harshly now, while they are still down there in the city of Jerusalem, down in the south. Alright, in chapter 7 here, we talk about, it's prophesied about a judgment upon Israel. Verse 2, at the end part of it says, Son of man, passeth the Lord God unto the land of Israel. And the end is come upon the four corners of the land. Chapter 8, here is abomination of Jerusalem. Exactly again in verse 1, watch what how that Ezekiel always record the date and the date of the vision. And it came to pass in the sixth years, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, the elder of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell then upon me. Now, do you remember? Every time he had a vision, there's always somebody around. Okay? He will sit there with the elders, and then he will enter into a vision, and then he will tell the vision to these people. Then he will act out what God said in the vision. So, you know, they are witness to what was happening. You know, to Ezekiel, in the vision, what he saw, he will act it out, and the people will realize that this is actually God dealing with Ezekiel, and he's dealing with Israel in a real way, in a way that as God showed to Ezekiel. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness of the like appearance of fire from the appearance of his loin down even downward fire, and from his loin even upward as the appearance of brightness as the color of amber. Here came the visions of Ezekiel when an angel came before him and lifted him up. And in verse 10, this is a vision here where God showed Ezekiel the abomination of Jerusalem. And you know what Ezekiel saw? He saw things that are so vile. Verse 10. So I went and I saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, abomination, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about in the house. So this chapter deals with these visions of Israel committing idolatry. Ezekiel saw so many idols in the house of God. And what was happening to the house of God? Over in verse 16. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their back toward the temple of God and their faces toward the east. And they worshipped the sun toward the east. Now, you are not supposed to know that. Yes, you all know, you enter into the temple of God at the eastern gate, right? The entrance faces east. You come in, the throne of God is before you. That's why you worship the Lord. But these are 20, how many men here described as 25 men? They turn their back, okay, towards the temple, and they face the east, that is towards the mountain. Remember, the mountain is on the east? And they worship the sun. And their back is towards the throne of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why, you know, in the Muslim, in the Islamic world, the Muslim, they worship facing Mecca. Is that right? Is that right? You know? And according to what we all realize, it seems that most of them, they worship Mecca in the Middle East, their back is towards Jerusalem. You understand? Of course, the Israel people, they don't face Jerusalem to worship because they don't have a temple in that sense anymore. Or could they go to the wailing wall and they go there and wail and cry and pray? You know. But the day that is in the future when the third temple is set up, Christ will enter in from the eastern gate. Alright? And then enter in and sit upon that throne. You understand? And there he was sitting upon the throne, he looked up out through the eastern gate to the valley of Joseph, where all nations were gathered before him to be judged. And so this was the abomination. Ezekiel saw all kinds of idols in the house of God. And chapter 9 is a vision of the slaughter of the guilty. And then chapter 10, here was again another vision was given to Ezekiel. Verse 1, then I behold, and I look and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, that appeared over them as it was a sapphire stone as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. What is the color of a sapphire? Anybody know? Blue. Huh? So it's a heavenly throne. So it was a description. And then of course the angel took him all the way to Jerusalem. So now some people call, well, you know, Jeremiah, they call him the suffering prophet or the lamenting prophet. And Ezekiel, he was the flying prophet. They call him, he fly. Just as John flew on the eyes of Pembers, his spirit was lifted up actually. Huh? Not that he was taken out bodily, a whole body went there, but his spirit was taken up. So they call him flying prophet. Okay? But it was just a vision. Because after all, the only man that have a special transport in the Bible was actually Elijah. Elijah can appear and disappear anywhere. You know, he just appear here and disappear. He was the kind of man who had this Philip transport even before it was actually given to Philip. So you could call him Ezekiel's transport. Alright? So this was here was Ezekiel being taken from River Kiba, where he was. Alright? It was a vision, but some people believe that his body went all the way, flying all the way to Jerusalem. And then he was taken up and he saw what was happening to the city of Jerusalem, he saw what was happening to the temple of God. And in verse 10 or 18, then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. Departed off from the threshold of the house. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And they went out and the wheels also were beside them. And everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the Lord of Israel was over there above. And in chapter 11, verse 23, you find it here. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain which was on the east side of the city. Huh? The glory of God came out to the threshold. Then he went over to the mountain on the east side. Now, if you remember the city of Jerusalem, the eastern gate, the temple, the entrance of the temple faced east. If you are inside there, you look out, it faces east, right? Because Christ is coming, that's when the sun rises up. Okay, the Bible calls us the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. Okay, and so, S-O-N, the Son of Righteousness was rise with healing in his wing. So Christ is coming back from the east. Okay, because the gospel anyway went westward, and he's going to come back from the east. So Christ is, the temple where Christ sits in the throne will face the door which look towards the east. You understand? Now looking out from the temple towards the east is where you see the mountain. Mount Olive. Okay? It's there. You understand? Now there is the valley of Kidron or Joseph. This is the big valley where nations were gathered before Christ to be judged. So what happened is that in this vision, Ezekiel said that the glory of God departed from this temple and went out and stood over on the mountain on the east side. You know. And he's waiting, and this is portrayed that, you know, he's waiting to come back into the temple. He has left the temple. The glory of God has departed from Israel. But he will only return when the time is come, when the time is right. And that's, you know, when Jesus came, when Jesus was born, and then, you know, on his last day, when he rode on the donkey, he came through that gate. You know, signifying also the fulfillment of part of prophecy as what will be in the future when Christ comes back. And when he fight in the battle of Armageddon, and when he put his feet down on Mount Olive, and Mount Olive will cleft into two. You see, so he will have come back. His glory will come back from that direction. Okay? Now in verse 19 of 11, the future again, and we're mentioned here, the promise of restoration of Israel and the renewal of the people. Verse 19, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statute and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Alright. Now in chapter 12 here, these are all visions of Israel pertaining to the last few years of Israel. Now in chapter 12 here again, is regarding what we call how God dealt with Ezekiel to show the blindness of Zedekiah. Alright. We're not going to go into that. And dealing with him being blind and so on, and how that actually dealt, was pointing to King Zedekiah, how that he actually was blinded. And verse chapter 13, we have the false prophet condemned. And there are a lot of false prophets at the time, again, as I said, not only in captivity, but also still with those down in the south, in the city of Jerusalem. And verse 17 onward, we have false prophetess. And they use all kinds of charm. Like in verse 18, it says, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the woman that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchief upon the head of every stature to hunt soul. Will you hunt the soul, my people? And will you set the soul alive that come unto you? It says there are a lot of these wizards and all these mediums and these, you know, and prophetess. People come and are seeking for some kind of guidance, and these false prophetess, you know, do some kind of a charm. I don't know what they do with this sewing this pillow, some kind of a symbol thing, you know. And then, you know, to deceive the people. Chapter 14. Here we have those idolaters, those Jews that are not sincere. They try to inquire from the prophet. Verse 1 said, then came son of the elder of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and have put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and said unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that set up their idols in his heart and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and come to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that come according to the multitude of his idol, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. So these people are not sincere. They are hypocritical. They have something in their heart. They are not truly in tune with God, but they want to seek counsel from God and inquire from God through the prophet. You know, and God said, do you think I will answer these people? They came to me with all this idol in heart. So many of us Christians are otherwise the same. We don't want to give up our idols. And yet we want to ask God for healing, God for this, God for that. God cannot hear your prayer when you have something that you, there are idols sitting in your heart. You know. And so this is what exactly it is. Alright. And he says over now in the verse 14. He said, don't this man, Noah, Daniel and Job when in it, they should deliver by their own souls by their righteousness, said the Lord. You know, even if Noah was here, even Daniel, Job, only these people were said their own life, because of their own righteousness, or what they stand before me, because of their conduct, because of their spiritual attitude towards me. That's how they will be saved. You cannot come to me with all this idol in your hearts and try to win my favor. Not at all. You can't. Alright, chapter 15 now is Jerusalem then is likened unto a useless vine. And chapter 16 here, oh, here's a beautiful bride here that the visions of Israel, I mean Ezekiel, when God spoke to him, how that a beautiful bride was made queen, but she prostituted herself to every man. And that's what Israel was. Israel was chosen by God to be a bride to God as a queen. She was beautiful, but yet to every nation all round about, she prostituted herself. You know, God likened unto Israel as a beautiful, beautiful bride. And then we go over to, quickly over now, in verse 44 of chapter 16 here, we see this verse where we have like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, and this is where we get it from the Bible. Verse 44. Behold, everyone that use proverb shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is the daughter. Huh? As is the mother, so is the daughter. Look at Israel. What happened to her? As a beautiful queen, all that produced later on, after generation, all of them behaved the same just like what was in the beginning, the mother. And the same thing with the denomination today. As mother harlot is corrupt, huh? So the same with the rest of all those daughters that come out after her. You see. That's why we have all the denomination. The Bible says they're all daughters of harlots. They prostitute themselves. With every man that comes along. Okay? And here in chapter 17, there were 6 years before this fulfillment, the vision was given to Ezekiel, 6 years before it was fulfilled. About verse 2, thus saith the Lord, a great eagle with great wings, long wings, full of feather, which had diverse colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twig and carried it into a land of traffic, and he set it in the city of merchant. So in this vision, there were two eagles that Ezekiel saw. And one of the eagles, this first eagle here with great wings, went sit on the top of Lebanon, of a tree, a cedar tree, and then took off the highest branch of the cedar and cropped off the top. And this pertains to the time when the Babylonian king, who was the eagle, that came down and took Jehoiakim to Babylon. And this is interpreted, self-interpretation is given in verse 12. Say now to the rebellious house, know you not what this thing be? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and have taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. Okay, that's a self-interpretation. The second eagle in verse 7 of 17, chapter 17, verse 7, there was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her root towards him, and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. And of course, this king is who? Is the king of Egypt. Zedekiah was the twig that takes sides with the king of Egypt. Babylon, king of Babylon, doesn't like it. Came down, took Zedekiah, killed his son, took his eye out. Because the king of Babylon told him, all you have to do is to serve me. You know. But he was rebellious. And leaned towards the king of Egypt. And that's when king of Babylon came down, took Zedekiah. Verse 13. And that's what you see here. And he had taken of the king's seed, and make a covenant with him, and have taken an oath of him, and he have also taken the mighty of the land. That you can turn over to 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. Just refer back to that last chapter of 2 Chronicles. Just, you know, a few books before that, before your book of Ezekiel. And verse 13, you can see over there. And he also rebelled against the king. There is Zedekiah in verse 11, you can see that. Huh? He rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar who make him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning into the Lord, turning unto the Lord God of Israel. You know, Jeremiah told King Zedekiah, all you have to do is to obey and do what Nebuchadnezzar wants you to do. And there will be peace in Jerusalem. But he refuses. He rebelled again. You see, every time God gives an instruction, whether to Jeremiah the prophet or to King Nebuchadnezzar, who showed grace to the king of Israel, yet this King Zedekiah rebelled. Leaned against Pharaoh. Nebuchadnezzar came to know about it, went down, lay siege to the city of Jerusalem, then burned the whole place down, captured them, took the eye, cut off the head of the sons in before him, and then take out his eye, and took him to Jerusalem. All this that Ezekiel saw was before it happened. Ezekiel was given this vision, and Ezekiel prophesied, the news went down, also down to the south. But after all, who was Ezekiel? How could this thing happen? They have their own prophet they hearken to. You see. And it was 6 years later than it was fulfilled. Now here we go quickly right now in chapter 18, and we want to close. Verse 22 of chapter 17 of Ezekiel. Verse 22, chapter 17. Thus saith the Lord, I will also take the highest branch of the high cedar, and will set it. I will cut off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will plant it upon a high mountain, and eminent. Now, this same vision that Ezekiel saw about these two eagles and the twigs, you know, and the tender branches. And then last part here, he said, God says, I will, you know, take of the highest branch of the top cedar and will set it. And this is referring to who? None other than Jesus Christ. He set him upon a mountain, an eminent. And surely Jesus Christ came later on. You know, tender twig of the tribe of Jesse, you know, from Jesse, the branch. Chapter 18 here, verse 4, last part of verse 4. The soul that sinneth it shall die. You know, the children of Israel, in chapter 18, is blaming all the problems upon the forefathers. You know, our father did this, did this, that's why we have all this problem. And God told Ezekiel, tell them, the soul that sinned, it shall die. Not only because what they did, you yourself do it at this time, you sin, you shall die. Everybody is responsible for their own soul. Don't blame it on anybody else. That's what Ezekiel told the children of Israel. Alright, in verse 20 also of chapter 18, the same word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And here the rest of verse 21, and if the wicked shall turn from all his sin, that which they have committed, and kept all my statute, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgression that he have committed, they shall not be mentioned to him. In his righteousness that he have done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Said the Lord God. And not that he should return from his way and live. And when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and do according to all the abomination that the wicked man doeth, shall he live. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass he hath trespassed. And in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Does God have any pleasure that the sinner should just simply die? If they will return, repent and return to me, I will receive them, they shall live. But even if the righteous shall go back to iniquity and commit those things, shall his righteousness be remembered and be mentioned? No, he shall die in his own sin. That means God means business. And truly, for Ezekiel, that they shall know that I am the Lord, that they shall know that I am Yahweh. You know one thing about this captivity that happened to Israel? This treatment that God dealt with Israel, the whole nation, the whole 12 tribes. You know what happened to them? What was God so harsh with them? Do you ever wonder why? If you look from the time when God called Abraham, there were a people that came out of Ur Kaldee, Babylon, in that region. Okay? Now, these people, they were the idol worshippers. Remember that? Huh? You know, Ma'arara is just north of the river Tigris. That's when they came down and they settled in this fertile crescent. Alright? So, when God wanted to show himself, he dealt with the plan. You know, don't ask me why God do that, huh? Is it God is always hiding himself, not wanting to reveal himself to you and me, in a way that we can say, you are God, and we can see with our eyes. Why can't God do this? Why can't God do that? Why must God do this? Why must God do that? Why is this suffering? We can ask thousands and one question. Is that alright? Is God not powerful enough to do what He wants today and put a stop to all this crazy thing that is going on around the world? God can do anything He wants to. Truly, I mean, you want to put a stop to what's happening around the world today? He could. No doubt about it. Isn't it so? He wants to heal you, He wants to give you, do anything? He could. But God is down to earth, so to speak. After all, He created mankind. He had to relate Himself to mankind in their joy, in their suffering. But if mankind have always joy and pleasure, and there's no suffering, man will never learn. Okay, so He told Abraham, fine, Abraham. You know, he came out from a place where his father and uncles and auntie and every one of them practically are also idol worshippers. His wife was an idol worshipper. Abraham perhaps wasn't worshipping idol anyway. So call him out, and well, he came out of Ur of Kaldee, went down to Canaan land. The Lord came along with his family and his servant, and oh my, what do we have? We have all this mixed multitude. But among them, there are a lot of them, many of them worship idol. They have their own idol they carry with them. You know, they can carry their own idol with them and worship their God anytime they want to. You know that, don't you? I mean, we can worship God in any place we want to, but they have to carry their God with them. And then when they want to worship, they put it away somewhere and bow before the idol. You know. So, okay. Years after years down the road, God began to doubt Abraham, Jacob, Isaac came along here, the 12 tribes. Alright. Well, they were rebellious. They're going back to worshiping other God. We beat himself to them in a certain way, through prophets and by visions and miracles and all this. They saw all this. Even when they were in bondage through Moses, they saw all that. Right? Out there in the wilderness, they experienced all that. Yet, they keep on going back to idol, to idol, to idol. They see all the nation around about. This mega country, mega church, mega temple. They were, and they saw the one. You know the gods that they, out there in the Philistine? Huh? And the Zanonian? Their gods are big, you know. You don't believe me, you just go in the east. They have this big statue, always. Even in the Chinese temple we have, their god is very big, bigger than a human. I don't know how many stories tall, you know. Very big. Even some of the idols you can see in the temple today, whether it's Goddess of Mercy or Buddha or whatever, it's always big. You know. When you have this kind of a thinking, you have a problem. That's why in some country, Latin American country, Catholic country, they even have statue of Jesus Christ. Huge! Rio de Janeiro, huh? Very big. That's why they want to build this mega statue. And you know what? God finally said, okay, I have enough of them. Dealt with them, harshly scattered them. But you know what happened? When they came back, until the time when they came back to today, Israel was cured of what? Idolatry. Do you know that? Israel was cured of idolatry. In those days, Old Testament, look at the God and the worship. Esther, Chemosh, Milcom, Astaroth. Wow! All kinds of God that they have today. Israel is cured of it. You know, so there's only way. I mean, God's way, you know, I mean, there's no way that you can kill Israel. Time and time again, God sent a prophet, they kill him. Send another prophet, they kill him. Because they don't like to have a prophet of God tell them that this is idol, this is a false god. Now you're going to tell idol worshiper this is a false god, they will kill you. There's one thing about them being a non-believer of God. But for the believer of God today, they try to tell that to a Roman Catholic about worshiping this, praying to the saint and all these things. They will argue with you. You know, that it is okay, this is all right. This is the church and all this. So you know that's opinion, but that's not scriptural. Until we come back to the Word of God, we will never have peace. And Israel will never have peace until God scattered them out there. Dealt with them real harsh. And so do you think what do you think God is dealing with this? Looks like everything is okay, huh? Looks like the mega church is doing fine, isn't it? Looks like every people are going to church there and shout and yell and do the cheerleader, you know, all sorts of things. They have all this worshiping God. They think that they're all right. They are not all right, brothers and sisters. And neither will we be all right until we come back to the Word of God. Until that is why God's Son of Prophet come back. And those who have the word of Brother Branham, are they really coming back? Are they for me another form of ism, another form of idolatry? And this is what is happening today. And God is not mocked. He's going to scatter every one of them and left a remnant for himself. If he will have a remnant for himself, look at what happened when he scattered Israel. He will always have a remnant for himself. The majority of them will be thrown out there into all the world and scattered them. That's why for the diaspora in 70 AD, that was the last. You know. Alright? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, blessed be thy holy name. We thank you, Father. We bless thy name, Lord, for your goodness towards our life. For your grace, O Lord, towards us. We know, Father, we are not deserving people many times the way that we live our life before you, Father. Many times too, Lord, we behave like Israel, but we know now, Lord, how important it is, Father, to get close to you. It's not our will be done. It's not our desire for what we think you should do regarding our life, Lord, the way we want it, but we should be like Jeremiah and Ezekiel, just to follow your instruction, even know how difficult it may be. Sometimes truly, Lord, to eat of your word, it is present, it is tasty, it is sweet as honey. But when you get right down, Lord, into the valley, into our soul, Lord, we know, Father, to be close to you, we have to live that life that pleases you. And in this world, Father, we're an oddball, Father, towards, you know, the many people around about us, and surely, oh Father, that's where the bitter taste comes in, Father. But nevertheless, Lord, only knowing the life of Jesus in us, knowing that eternal life is ours, and how much more important it is, therefore, to hold fast, O Lord, to this faith that we have. Hold fast to it, because, Lord, we know that Satan has roaring lion, seek to devour whom he could, and would he try to destroy the faith of many as far as he could, Lord, or to cause unrest in their souls and mind and spirit. Lord, we thank you, Lord, today for what we see in the life of Ezekiel and how you deal with Israel. May always be in our heart to know that we should keep away from idolatry and never have any idols in our hearts, Lord. For truly, Lord, without Jesus, we will have many, many idols. But we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ who lives in our hearts today. We commit all things to you now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.